everyone, welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Azband, our daf of the day, Masachet Nazir, daf Mem Gimel, page 43. Page 43, some of what we're doing here is continuing on the discussion about Tumat Mate, the impurity of a dead body, of a corpse. And I want to, it's about halfway through Amud Aleph, maybe a little more than that, there's a discussion of exactly this the impurity, this ritual impurity, of a dead body. Tanu Rabbanan, lechelo. So this is a citation, just that one word is a citation from a verse in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 21, verse 4. And it says lechelo to, I guess we translated this as to make profane, to profane himself. It's to make himself, I don't have a good translation here beyond that. Do you, Yerdana?
Well, I think it means that there's something, a Kohen is supposed to be in a particular state of tahara. So when they make themselves tameh, right? There's a profanity to that. There's like a removal of kedusha.
Like,
there's a removal of the sanctity that the Kohen is supposed to have.
Exactly.
You know, these words don't translate well into English because we label them very often as like good or bad. Often I would say these are things that are more just like, we've always say this about Tuman Tara. They're like descriptive, right? They're not good or bad. It's like, you're either pure or impure. I think when it comes to like Chilul versus, you know, Kedusha, like something that's profane versus something that's sanctified, that does have a little bit more of a good or bad quality to it. But I think in the context of the Kohen, right, having to become Tameh for a relative, I don't know that it's good or bad. It's really just like when he does that, because he has to do that, he removes an element of Kedusha that a Kohen is normally supposed to have.
So that, I think, was beautifully said. I think the point here is that we've been talking about, you know, purity versus impurity. If you come in contact with a dead body, then you become impure. But the issue here is that for a Kohen, in addition to becoming impure, there is this, as you said, a removal of a measure of Kedusha, that of that extra Kedusha that the Kohen has. So the verse in Vayikra that says he should not become impure, it goes on to say he's a chief among his people. And again, lechelo, to profane himself, this idea is that in doing so, if he becomes impure, then he not only becomes impure, but has also profaned himself. Again, profane not being a really useful translation, but we don't have an easy other one. And the Gemara goes on, right? Meaning the point is that from that verse, from that word, we learn the prohibition will not apply until the time that the person with whom he came into contact dies. Until the time that he dies. So what that means is that there's no impurity or profaning until that last point. There's no there's a status before a person dies that's halachically someone who's really very close to death. And you don't get impure from being near or physically in contact with the ghost. It's only at that point. Now we have Rabbi Omer, b'motam itama, right? In his death, in their death, he will become impure. Meaning it's a verse, it's about the Nazir, right? He's not allowed to become impure for his father, for his mother, for his brother, for his sister when they die, meaning, because usually otherwise one would, right? One would come in contact with them. One would become impure, even including the Kohen, but not the Nazir because of this special status of staying away from a dead body. So it says, "B'motam itama ad sheyamut." So again, when they die, the person would become Tameh, and not until the person actually dies. But the Gemara wants to know, ma benayhu, what's the difference between these two process of limud, right? The learning from lechelo for the Kohen and the process and the words about from the verse when they die, how Rabbi Yehuda Nasi uses that for the Nazir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mashmaut bershin ike benayhu. So Rabbi Yochanan says we have the meaning, the implication of meaning from the verse is what's the difference between them. Reish Lakish says Oh, well, the main difference between them is what I said before, goses, the person who's in the process of dying. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no real difference. It's just a matter of, did you learn it from this verse or did you learn it from that verse? There's no practical difference of how you learn it. For Reish Lakish, the difference is what happens for that person who is in the status of a goses, someone who's in the process of dying. Laman damar melechelo afilo goses. According to the person who says that we learn this halacha, that you're only becoming pure from the person who's actually dying, you what it says from the verse about the Kohen, then when you say that he would profane himself, then even the dying person might be included in that level of impurity or the prohibition of impurity. Laman damar bimotam, if you learn it from bimotam, ad shiyamut in goseslo. So then if you learn it from when they die, that word, those words, when they die, that it can only be after when they die. The difficulty I have with this, of course, is that when we look at lechelo, right, when the Gemara presents this, it's a breita, I guess, that says lechelo, it says ad shiyamut, until that time that he actually dies. And the difference between ad shiyamut and ad shiyamut, until he dies, is so close, right? It sounds so similar, and it sounds like just a difference of a flowery language. But but it says the Gemara's point is it's not simply linguistic, unless you're Rabbi Yochanan. But according to Reish Lakish, there's actually a difference of whether a person would become impure during the Sha'a Shiyamut, during that time that the person would die. So the Gemara is going to ask on Reish Lakish's opinion, because it's a little bit difficult. Lechelo hakativ bimotam. It says right there, bimotam. This is what we've just said. So the idea here is, like, once we say when they die, then isn't that going to be exactly the same thing? Only impurity and profanity once a person dies. We need that verse for the position that was taught by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Ditanya Rabbi Omer. Bimotam ubizivatam. So now we're like jumping to a whole other area of halacha, where Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had taught that when a person dies, he cannot become impure. However, if he could become impure, meaning the Kohen should not be with them to become impure. However, he could become impure from other bodily impurities, whether from tzaraat or from other kinds of discharges or whatever. So the Nazir, who is not allowed to come in contact with the, did I say Kohen? I meant Nazir. The Nazir who's not allowed to come in contact with impurity, we're talking about impurity from a dead body. A Nazir could indeed end up being impure from having come in contact with other forms of impurity, like again, liquids and so on from the body. And then lastly here, Ulaman Damar B'motam, according to the one who says that the earliest time that we're going to worry about the person actually being rendered impure is B'motam, when they die, Ami Ba'ele Lahai Svara. Then he also need that verse for the same reason, meaning because you can't learn two different halachot from the same verse. We talk about this all the time. So if that's the case, Im Kein Lema Kra B'mot, so let it say in his death. What's in it, in their deaths? Why plural? Shema mina tarte. So therefore, we learn two halachot that you, because there's a plural in the verse, we actually end up learning more, namely, that you don't impart impurity until you're actually dead. I mean, the body doesn't until it's actually gone. And the nazir is, in fact, prohibited from coming in contact with the impurity of a corpse. Okay, the Gemara does go on here. It still is delving into the question of lechelo and bimotam, meaning the back and forth of it is it continues it a bit longer, really till the end of the Amud, I suppose. Yerdan, I want to turn it over to you in our effort to kind of move it right along within these da'apim.
I mean, I don't know that I have much to say. I mean, it's just interesting to see sort of, at the end of the day, Rebbe and the Tanna Kamma learn the same thing. But again, it's one of these things where it's like how they learn it is what the difference is. And this is something we keep seeing, sort of in depth after depth.
I just want to note that as far as I know, this idea of a goses rendering a person impure, Reish Lakish's hava mina there, The fact that he thought that that's a possibility as a practical difference between the different approaches, as far as I know, that is not the halacha.
Yeah, that's not, we don't hold like that. That is correct. So I'm going to move on now to Amud Bet, really to the top of Amud Bet. And again, since we know that a kohen usually is not, is basically, it's a sur for him to become tamei, right? Except for this exception of his immediate family or when it's a mitzvah, right? There's nobody else to bury the person. So the Gemara wants to talk about that a little bit more. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav. So Rav Chista said in the name of Rav, Nikta Rosho Shel Aviv. So let's say his father's head was cut off. Eino mitameilo. A kohen cannot make himself tamei for the burial of that corpse. My taima, what's the reason? Amar kra le'aviv, because the pasuk says le'aviv. The pasuk in Vayikra chapter 21 verse 2 says his father, which means bizman shehu shalem. The body has to be totally intact. V'lo bizman shehu chaser, and not when part of it is missing. And this is like a very unusual distinction that they make, that if something happened to the body, if the body was dismembered, that is a body you would not be allowed to become tameh for. Now, this is challenged that Rav Chisda said this. Amar le Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna says to him, Elameata, but now, Ka'azil bepakta de arvot. If a kohen was traveling in the, it literally means the barrens of arvot. In other words, he's somewhere in a very remote area. Upaskul ganve l'resha, and thieves beheaded him. Hachanami de lo l'tamele. Would you say his son can't contaminate himself for him? In other words, let's say this man's traveling with his son and he gets beheaded. The son's not allowed to like bury the body. Like, who's going to bury him otherwise? There's nobody around to bury him, right? So Rav Chisda answers, Amar le, mate mitzvah kamar. Wait, do you mean, are you asking this of a case of a mate mitzvah? Hasha yesh lo amar ba'achrini mechayi, right? So even with this, right, even of a somebody else, meaning not someone who's his relative, of course a kohen has to make themselves tummy, ba'aviv lo kol shekein. So even more so, if it's a mate mitzvah with his father, of course he can. So then they challenge us and say, "V'hai mate mitzvah, is this a case of having an unattended, you know, corpse?" V'hatanya, and so they quote a brisa here, "Ezohi mate mitzvah," right? What is considered to be a mate mitzvah for a kohen? Kol she'ein lo korvin, someone who has no barriers, no relatives who can bury them. Korei v'acherim o nimotel, but if the kohen can call for other people to help him, and other people will do it. Ain't that mate mitzvah? That's not. In other words, if the kohen, you know, let's say has a neighbor who dies who has no relatives, if he can go to a different neighbor, let's say, or a different friend and say, "You take care of it," that's not a mate mitzvah, right? Vaha islay borei, right? So in the case of this, in this case of the kohen who's murdered in the barrens of Aravot, right? He has a son. Why couldn't the son go and hire somebody else? How could we say it's a mate mitzvah? So the Gemara answers, kevim de kids azul be'orcha. It's when he's traveling on the road and there's nobody else around. Kamish ain't lo kovrim dummy, right? Then that dead man is like somebody who has no barriers. Of course, the son's not going to be able to find somebody else, right? Now they're going to, so then they bring another brisa that's going to challenge this. And they ultimately say that that brisa is actually going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then they'll quote the brisa. That's the rest of the daf. But I think this thing of, you know, this whole idea, the one nuance here that I think is very important is that when it comes to the category of mate mitzvah, it's really an extreme case for a kohen. It means there has to be nobody else around who could possibly do it. It's not really what typically is supposed to be happening. It's really, really not a, you know, it's not supposed to be what typically happens.
I think also, Yerdina, I think that a mate mitzvah is really not supposed to be what's happening ever.
In general.
Right.
But
meaning,
we know it is.
Right. But meaning the idea that somebody is in such a situation that there's nobody even to call, right, for help is a difficult one to think about.
Right. Exactly. Like, look, today we have a chevra and we always see these things, you know, like, even it's not even getting the body ready, but I'm sure all of us have seen these things now where like on social media, somebody will post like elderly Holocaust survivor with no relatives. We need a minion. And then, you know, like 50 people show up. So it's hard to imagine these scenarios, but my guess is that, you know, in the years of the way travel worked, you know,
yeah,
it was like, that's really what these cases were. It was like, you traveled, you didn't bring these bodies back with you. You buried them right away. that's where I think like this, or you traveled with a business partner and something happened to them. I think there was like a whole category, like we fly bodies across the world now, but you know, how does that happen? And again, now we have charities set up so that if there are, you know, indigent Jews, right, we make sure that they're buried. That's what, like what the Hebrew Free Burial Society has. Like there's all these organizations. So I think it's a difficult category to relate to. But even in the time of the Gemara, it's telling us this was really the exception. This was not a category that a Kohen would commonly become tamei for.
Right. I think that's certainly true. Otherwise, it would be very hard to maintain that status of not coming in contact with a dead body.
Well, that's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Reverend Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadra website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.